Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. And one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you would all speak in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you, unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Amen. And so we're going to continue to talk this week about hearing from God and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. But I'm going to start moving us more into talking about spiritual gifts. And probably, I'd probably say next year, we'll spend a good, you know, chunk of time going over the gifts of the Spirit and kind of help us along on our journey in that way. And so, you know, I'm just going to try out some stuff here. But, you know, we see that in chapter 14, now, this whole thought actually starts in chapter 12. And so Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and he is talking about different kinds of stuff, and then he gets to, you know, really the bulk of what 1 Corinthians is quite well known for, and he starts talking about spiritual matters, right? Especially, remember, Corinth was a very spiritual church. You know, in terms of, you know, how, you know, they look like an atmosphere over a city, right? You know, I mean, I hope that you understand that by now, right? That there are certain atmospheres that are over cities, you know, and meaning that, you know, I mean, in a very, very simple language, right? You know, meaning that there are spirits, you know, that tend to govern, you know, over certain geographical locations, right? And maybe we can spend some other time somewhere else talking about that. And one thing that you have to remember, you know, the importance of that in the Scriptures, there's always a relationship between the man and the land. All right, it's the easiest way, before I go into any other details, you always remember there's always a relationship between man and the land, right? And so even to the case where in Romans it says that creation groans, you know, for the appearing of the Messiah, as well as we groan, you know, Paul says even creation groans and longs, right? And so when we talk about the redemption of mankind, you know, attached to the redemption of man is also the redemption of the land, right? And so if you I mean, I'm actually spending more time than I wanted to on this, but if you look at the book of Revelation, you know, it says that when, you know, Jesus comes and, you know, and then, you know, tribulation, all that stuff happens, and then what's going to happen? A new heaven and a new earth is going to come, a new Jerusalem, right? And so not only do we get redeemed, but the planet also gets redeemed. Right now, this is significant for us in terms of the way that we look at our planet, you know, in many ways, right? I'm not saying that Christians are green, you know, or that we should be leaning that way, you know, but there is a stewardship aspect to this thing, right? And then the other thing, so, okay, I don't want you to get confused. There is a stewardship aspect to this thing, but it's not man that redeems the land. It's God who does it, right? And so we shouldn't kill ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, you find a lot of, like, environmentalists that kill people, right? You know, it's just, I just find that to be so odd, right? So strange that they would actually kill, you know, or, you know, living beings, you know, with souls, right? Because of other living beings without souls or other non-living beings. You know, I mean, just, that's just so odd to you. You know, it's in very same way the world will say, yeah, it's like those abortionists, you know, or those anti-abortionists that are killing human beings to save the unborn, right? I mean, that just doesn't make sense. you know, or, you know, I know I'm making a lot of political statements this morning, but it's okay, right? Or how about, you know, people that are against abortion that are for the death penalty? Does that make sense? You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? And stuff, but, you know, we know the world is like this. It's very quite complex. And so, you know, there is that relationship. And in Corinth, right, the reason why we went on these three tangents, you know, Corinth itself, right, was a spiritual hotbed, but the spirituality was wild, you know? But notice something, though, right? And this will be very contrary to a lot of practice in the church, okay? So you have these gifts that are operating in the church, okay? They're operating in the city, operating in the church, and it's wild, right? I mean, it's just out of control. Now, does Paul come and say, don't do it? No. Does Paul say, just be very careful, you know? Don't go too crazy, right? I mean, I got this advice from my aunt, you know, and my uncle who are pastors, right? When I started getting into the gifts of the Spirit, they're like, hey, you know, just take it easy, right? I mean, sure. I mean, scripturally, they couldn't say this is wrong, but the general evangelical advice is be careful, you know, be really careful. Like, you may, you know, be prideful or something bad, or you may get a demon, you know, or some of these kind of stuff, right? Does Paul say any of that stuff? No. What does Paul do? Paul teaches properly and he pastors people through. That's the difference, right? You know, and most of the evangelic advice that we get is just be very careful. Just be very careful, you know. Don't get too much into this kind of stuff, right? You know, Paul doesn't give any of that kind of advice. In fact, he says, you guys, go for it. You know, pursue, you know, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Present tense imperative. Desire, keep desiring spiritual gifts. You know, and so he's telling them, you guys keep going for it, just keep but, you know, do it with a sense of order. You know, do it, and this is really the key, right? That I find more than anything else in terms of this whole debate. Paul's focus is do it to build up the church. I think people come into error when we do it to build ourselves up, right? And I'm not speaking about tongues build ourselves up, right? I'm talking about that. But like, we do it for our own ego, right? We do it because, oh man, I got this gift. I'm important in the church, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's not how Paul, he phrases all these things in. Go for it, do it, but do it to build up the church of the Lord. In other words, let the gift be about other people and let it not be about you. That's Paul's central message in talking about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, it's not like don't do it or don't be, you know, be very careful. You know, no, he's like, you go for it, man. You pursue it. You give yourself to it, but do it to build the church up. You know, and like I said, right, a lot of times, you know, a lot of us, we come into error, you know, especially when we, you know, move around the gifts because it's about what I have, you know. It's about how I could grow in this. And there's an element to that, right? But see, the only reason that I want to grow in a gift is to bless the church. Not so that, you know, man, I'm so gifted, you know. I got like 8 gifts. You know, and I charted all my gifts and, you know, done all these things. And, you know, here's my Venn diagram. You know, and people use the gifts as like kind of a, you know, like a manipulation. See, I'm valuable. See, you should give me a position in the church. See, I'm worth something. You know what I mean? And all that stuff comes out of our insecurities. I mean, I understand that, right? But Paul's central word, right, is like build up the church. Use it to edify the church. You know, and not that he's saying that building yourself up is wrong. There's nothing wrong with that because he says, you go speak in tongues and do it privately. You know, that's how you build yourself up. But when it comes to, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, do it to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ, which is what he goes into later on. And so, let's just talk a little bit about prophecy, all right? And so, in, you know, like we've shared before, in the Old Testament, you know, the gift of prophecy, or even simply the coming of the Spirit, right, was just really assured to kings, priests, and prophets, right? They're really the ones that could, you know, that were assured of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. Kings, priests, and prophets, okay? Now, in the New Testament, you know, in the book of Acts, when the Spirit of God fell upon all flesh, Acts chapter 2, and Joel's prophecy, you know, becomes to be realized in this place, you know, the next thing you know, now the Spirit is given to everybody. You know, and Peter, as he's quoting this, makes it very clear of Joel's prophecy. You know, and if you actually read Joel, right, I guarantee you cannot come up with what Peter came up with, because you'll read Joel and you'll be like, well, Joel doesn't talk about tongues of fire anywhere, you know. But see, he understood the significance of the event. It wasn't the tongues of fire; it was that the Spirit was given to all flesh. Male, female, right? So you have really, in the scriptures, you have one of the first instances of gender equality. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? I mean, obviously you have that through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And especially if you look at the letters of Luke, you know, he seems to make it a point to always include women, okay? And so you have, you know, you have gender equality, and then you have age equality, right? He says young and the old, right? Slave, right? You have an economic, you know, equality, you know, right? The free, you know, and the slave, right? The, you know, young men, young women. I mean, in one prophecy, you have crossed over every inequality that existed in that day and time. And he says the Spirit is given to everybody, right? And so, as a result of that, the rules changed a little bit, right? And so what Paul is doing, Paul is giving us some really good parameters by which we can now operate in the ministry of the Spirit. And one of the primary roles of the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit is actually in relation to the gift of prophecy. You know, that seems to be, you know, one of the mainstream ways that the gifts of the Spirit really are become released in the life of the believer, you know. And so this is what he says in verse 3, just to give us, you know, and now we're talking about prophetic protocol, right? One who prophesies speaks to men, and now he gives us parameters for edification, exhortation, and consolation, right? And so the gift of prophecy, primarily operating in the church, will be to edification, which means to build somebody up, right? To exhort, to build someone up, to exhort, to cheer someone on, you know, or it also has a connotation of teaching as well, right? The gift of exhortation is also the gift of teaching, you know, or preaching in that context, and consolation, which is comfort. Okay, and so this is prophetic protocol, right? Now, because the Spirit is given to all flesh, you know, and see, you have to understand that the prophets, they didn't just show up out of nowhere. You know what I mean? You know, they didn't just grow up and was born a prophet. No, they were taught and they learned to hear God's voice and to administer God's word. You know, in the scriptures, there's actually, in the passages, there's the school of the prophets. You know, there, in other words, were centers where people learn, you know, how to move in the prophetic. Very common, right? All throughout. You know, you could very easily say Samuel was in his own school under Eli, and obviously out of the tutelage of the Father God himself, you know. And so they were taught and trained, you know, how to move in the prophetic. Interesting enough, the evangelical point of view totally disregards this, and they think that, you know, in order for the gift to operate, that when it comes fully mature. But that's not true. You know, because even the evangelical viewpoint would also, on the gift of teaching, they don't think that if you have a gift of teaching that it comes fully mature, right? They say go to seminary, go take some classes, learn, study. I mean, that's the modern way of growing in the gift of teaching, right? And stuff, but a lot of evangelicals don't give the same kind of grace, you know, to the sign gifts, right, you know, which operate. And so, like, you know, like we started a healing center at church. I mean, inner healing and now physical healing. Well, you know, people don't get healed all the time, even though, I mean, we've had already some amazing testimonies from people, you know, of limbs growing out, of bones adjusting itself. I mean, pretty amazing stuff. You know, I'm almost weekly now, right? I think on Sunday we had like four or five people get healed, you know, through our services and stuff. And so, the people are growing in the gift of healing. You know, and soon as you keep practicing it, and as you come under tutelage, you know, in a mentorship kind of role, as the more you kind of grow in that, then you're going to know when God wants to heal someone, right? Because remember when Jesus is moving, he says there was the presence of the Lord to heal. And there's something about that, and people become more sensitive, you know, and we have more of a formula, you know, of how we pray, like, okay, this time I said, in the name of Jesus, and it worked. Last time I said, in Jesus' name, and it didn't work, you know? And we become very formulaic in that way, you know, that's a form of animism, you know, that's idolatry, right? Because now we're lifting up a phrase before the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And things, and so, you know, we can easily get to that mindset, but then, because we're starting to grow, you know, in the gift of healing, we become more successful, right? Because we're practicing. You know, and so in this way, right, there were schools of prophets, and they understood the protocol. You know, it's unfortunate that a lot of churches don't teach the protocol, you know, in this way. But a good parameter, a good protocol for us to recognize is when we're operating, when we're praying for someone, when we're operating in the gift of prophecy, right, that it comes under, you know, these parameters of edification, that we're here to build people up, right? You know, and this is important because, you know, we say this before, right? You don't have to be prophetic to find out what's wrong with somebody. You know what I mean? Because we're so sinful, we're pretty good at finding out what's wrong with people, right? You know, yeah, I mean, you could meet someone, you know, and it's like, yeah, that dude's got issues, man, you know, or that girl's got, you know. And, I mean, we don't have to be spiritual to do that, right? Because of our sinful nature, we already have that down, right? But see, the gift of prophecy is not merely to point out, you know, and this is where the edification comes in, and the exhortation as well. It's not merely to point out what's wrong, but it's to give them God's insight to take them out of the place where they're wrong. That's what the gift of prophecy is, right? You know, you heard this phrase, right? Any jackass can kick a barn down, but it takes a skilled craftsman to build a house. Right? Any idiot can knock people down, right? You know, and we think that's prophetic. You are in sin. No kidding. We're sinners, right? You know, and we think that's the prophetic. It's not, right? That's just phase one, right? The real gift operates, and you see people in their sin, right? And you bring the word of the Lord, right, in such a way that they come out of that sin. Right, you know, Galatians, right, chapter 5. You who are spiritual, I'm sorry, I think chapter 6. You who are spiritual, right, you know, basically help your brother out of sin, you know, out of their trespass. It's upon us that are spiritual in that way, that are mature, you know. And so, you know, so we build up, you know, we exhort, right, you know, we lift up, you know, and then we also cheer people up as well. It's the consolation, the comfort, right? You know, real simple, right? We build up, we lift up, and we cheer up. And if we stay in that parameter, you know, I think something significant can happen. Now, it doesn't mean that God will not use you to point people's sins out. Yeah, that's also part of prophecy as well. But again, that's just baby steps, right? You may have to point some things out in people's lives, but the real gift operates in building them up as a result, right? Bring them out of the place where they're at. That's where the gift really comes to life. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Tomorrow we'll tackle another aspect of prophecy. But today, you know, maybe as a heart question would probably be good. One, are you pursuing the gifts of the Spirit? Because if you're not, you could be sinning against the word of the Lord. And I know the static evangelical answer, well, I'm pursuing the giver and not the gifts. Man, you're more spiritual than Paul. Because Paul says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you would prophesy. Right? Don't be holier than Paul. Or pretend you're holier than Paul. So are you pursuing the gifts? And the other question is, if you are you pursuing it to build up the church? Or is it for yourself? Is it to pad our resumes? And is it to authenticate who we are? Because the gifts don't do that. God does. So as Jisun leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate on that before the Lord. If you're not pursuing the gifts, to start doing that. If you're pursuing for the wrong reasons, change course. Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves, and let's pray for our church that we would build each other up in the Lord. That whatever God gives to us, whatever gifts and abilities and talents and acquired traits, whatever comes our way, that God would use us, would use whatever that talent or gift is to go beyond ourselves. Right? Let it be an outlet to love others and to build others up. Because, you know, Jesus said it's much more blessed to give than to receive. Because we know, you know, we've been living in the church long enough, you know that when you give, man, you receive much more than you could ever receive on your own without giving. And so let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we have the right motivations, you know, and that whatever God gives us, again, that we would use to bless others around us. Let's just lift that up before the Lord. Let's pray over our house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for Lan Kwai Fong and for Seymour Road and for Star Street. Let's ask God's hand to be upon each of those house churches and each of the leaders, that they would lead with love and even in their own hearts, right? It would not be about them, but it would be about building people up within their house church, within the church. Let's pray for a significant time of ministry tonight and people's hearts to be knit together in community and just the real grace of God will really flow through the life of the church. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God to just to breathe life through this city, that Jesus would take center stage in the government and in education and in the entertainment industry, that God would just move powerfully in this place and in the finance and banking sector, and that Jesus would be Lord of these places, and especially believers, you know, would really carry the mandate wherever they go, that every place that their foot treads, it would belong to the Lord. And let's just pray for Hong Kong, and let's also lift up ministries here that we are support. Let's pray for Christian Zhengsheng College and ask the Lord to continue to take those kids off drugs and just lead them into a right relationship with God. And let's pray for YWAM and Sports Services International, and let's pray for Shanti Ministries, Godwin, and that he would continue his ministry among the ethnic poor in Hong Kong. Let's pray for Face to Face, and the Lord would continue to use Pastor Jimmy and others to really bring healing to this the city. Let's lift up Feed the Hungry and Armanda and their ministry, And I pray that God would just give them more insight and strategy to minister to the poor here in Hong Kong and throughout Asia. And so let's just lift up our friends and ask God's hand and blessing to be upon them. And pray for God to show up in this place. Let's pray for our building, our search, and our fund, and God would just continue to increase, and really let's pray for all the pledges that are yet to be fulfilled. Let's pray that God would just really have His hand upon us in the area of finances, and He would be faithful to His promises. Pray for as we continue to search for a new place for us as a church, and let's ask God to really give us a bigger vision of what He wants to do through our lives. Let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for all the pregnant women at church. And, you know, Lisa's due any day now. And pray for Bernice with her twins. Pray for Jian, right? She's, all I think, next in line. And then Yuli and Annie and Sujin. And there's one other lady, Amber. Yeah, I said Bernice. And there's one other lady. I forgot her Korean name. So we have quite a few women at church. Pray for health and safety. I pray that they would not overexert themselves. And let's pray for healthy, beautiful babies to come into this world full of love and grace. And let's just cover them right now. Father, we thank you, God, for 1 Corinthians, Lord. We thank you for the message given to us, Lord, through that book. We thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of the mess and the chaos of what was going on in Corinth, Lord, that Lord, that you still encouraged us to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, to pursue even the messiness of it, God. And Lord, and we pray, God, that as a church, Lord, that we would be a prophetic church, Lord, that, and not just for ourselves, God, but for others, Lord, that, God, words of life may be spoken in this place over people's lives, and change, transformation, healing would occur, God, as the ministry goes forth. And so come, Holy Spirit, upon this place. Lord, Holy Spirit, touch our lives as well, God. Let Jesus become the center of our lives, Lord. We thank you so much, God. Watch over us today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. And we'll see you tomorrow. And we'll continue talking about prophecy some more.